Works at number 540. That'll be our invitation song this evening, number 540.
I bid you all good evening. Appreciate you being here this evening. It says a lot about you and your love for God. The fact that you've chosen and made the effort to be out with us here on this Sunday evening. I'm going to continue on an announcement I already made and welcome all those who are visiting with us. We do have visitors. We want you to feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ and hope you'll come out and be with us again. Two of my most favorite people walked in the door a few moments ago. Sean Belts and Anessa Chemley from Indianapolis are here with us tonight, and I'm flustered. I was just so glad to see them, and I appreciate so much as they're traveling down to Florida. Let's pray for them as they travel, have stopped by to visit us and me, and I thank them so much for not only the association tonight, but all the things that they have meant to me over the years. They mean so much, and I thank God for them, and I'm glad that they're here, and I invite all of you, be sure to meet them. You will be enriched by the experience. Want to understand and appreciate the fact that we're going to continue to worship God at this moment by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 11 said, "If any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified." And so we're going to bring honor and glory to God by preaching and teaching His Word, but not only preaching and teaching it, but listening, and making the application in our lives so that we might be able to bring the wonderful harvest the Lord would have us to have in our lives. I'd like to talk to us about this idea here this evening, proper priority and balance. I'm going to provide you book, chapter, verse for everything I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to utilize the overhead to my left, your right. And so I invite you to not only follow along, but maybe write down some notes and study these things further this week that you might see that these things are so and make that application to your life. Regardless of how long you have been a Christian, I believe one of hardest things for us to achieve is a proper balance in our life. It is an ongoing challenge. I remember a time when the fax machine came into my life, and oh my goodness, how much better life was going to be. And then other means of technology that seemed to be able to increase productivity, and our lives are going to be, oh my goodness, we're just going to have so much time, so much leisure time, because all the different things that technology is going to be able to do to us. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we live more hectic, hurried lives today than we ever have. One of my friends very concerned about my schedule and moving from one thing to the next and all the things that I have on my plate sent me a book one time entitled Little House on the Highway. And it was a little book that was supposed to kind of help you slow things down and stop the smell of roses and get your life kind of back into kind of a proper balance. I've not had time to read it yet, but one day I hope to, and I'm sure it's a good book. But I want us to appreciate and understand the fact that it is a challenge that seems to always be going on in our lives, the idea of proper balance. C.K. Chesterton was right when he said, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and therefore rarely tried." And really, because many times things are out of balance in our life. Jesus in Luke chapter 20 verses 22 through 26 made it clear it's not an either-or preposition, but one that fits together like a series of concentric circles. Ideally, God being in the center of everything, being in concert with His will. And when this happens, our lives can be in harmony. And the question I ask this evening for us to consider is, when is enough enough in one area, and when we need to move on for something else that demands our attention? We are many times kind of like Christian jugglers, that I've used that analogy in about, trying to balance different things, different responsibilities, different obligations in our life. And we're stressed many times because we got just so many balls in the air that we're attempting to juggle. Tough choices that we make in our life are not always between bad or good, but good, better, and best. And as we struggle, many times we fight against the pressures of the tyranny of the trivial, getting caught up in things that really don't matter. And because of that, our life kind of becomes a little bit out of balance. I mean, we need to make sure that we do not neglect essential things like prayer and Bible study and loving our spouse, because we're so busy doing the important things like paying our bills, cleaning the house, and being responsible to our employer. If this evening I was to tell you that in 15 minutes a nuclear missile was going to land, it's going to kill you and everybody else within about 150 mile radius, What would you think about? It's probably not, oh no, my lawn needed edging. Oh, there were some bills I meant to pay. No, our minds would probably go to those that we love the most, our friends and our family. And if we have any sense at all, whether we are ready to meet our Maker. Don't wait for a crisis until it's too late. We need to always put first things first. We need to do, as folks have said, not major in minors or minor in the majors. The main thing is to make sure that the main thing is the main thing in our lives. I'm simple, and that's very simple, isn't it? Peter Drucker one time said, the key is not doing things right, but making sure you're doing the right things. We need to make sure we do not spend our lives climbing the ladder of success only to wake up one day and find out that I have leaned that ladder on the wrong wall. The thesis I'd like for us to examine here tonight is there are five basic principles in the Christian life, and I've just started them all with a P so that maybe you can remember them or maybe memorize them. And that is us, the key for us being the best person, the best partner, the best parent, the best provider, and the best public servant that we can be. And I would just suggest to you that we got to put them on a mirror and do a little regular checklist to make sure that we have first things first. Being a priority does not necessarily mean you spend more time proportionally on that one thing over the other. For instance, I may spend 8 hours sleeping, but only 1 hour eating. But sleeping is not 8 times more important than me eating. I assure you of that. So as you think about this idea, I'd like for us to take a look at these five things in the next 14 minutes and 28 seconds, and then we'll bring this lesson to a close. The first thing I'd like to suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, is us putting God in the kingdom of heaven first. That is, being the best person we can be. Wise man Solomon, as he began to think about all the things in life and try out all the things that life can provide, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. When it is all said and done, the main thing, being the main thing, is my relationship with God. And that's the reason why Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, we said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will fall into place, you see. All these other things shall be provided for you. We need to make sure the main thing is the main thing. Proper time and being and becoming the proper person God would have me to be is of utmost importance. And that means I'm going to spend a little time in his word. That is one of our activities in our spiritual bodybuilding that we've been talking about. We made goals last month in regards to that, and carving out time and what I'm going to read, how I'm going to read, where I'm going to read, and the things I'm going to meditate upon. All of that has to do with becoming the proper person I need to become. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And I must continue a priority of prayer. We have made it a goal that each and every one of us want to write down 5 names this month, 5 names of the brethren that we are going to specifically pray for. Prayer is of utmost importance. And not only just praying for others, but also praying for ourselves. And in regard to a spiritual realm, truly communing with God. Paul said it was so important. He said, pray without ceasing. And in everything, give it thanks unto God, for this is the will of God for you. What that? That you are spending time in communicating with him in prayer, praying, allowing your supplications be laid upon him. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 6, go into your closet and shut the door and spend some time, some quiet, calm, deliberate time praying and building a relationship with your God, becoming the type of person that you need to be. And your Father which sees you there in that secret place, which is a good sermon, by the way, secret place, will see you and will reward you openly. And as you have done, we need to spend a proportionate amount of time in worship. Worship needs to be a part of our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Worship of God. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the habit our some is, but rather exhorting one another to see the approaching. I thank Brother Steve for making comment of that leadership class we had a few moments ago. I led that class, and we had good attendance, and I appreciate that. I appreciate people being willing to come an hour before worship to spend time in the Word of God to consider such biblical, godly concepts. We need to spend time in prayer to God. We certainly need to spend time on our physical well-being, though, as you consider that as well. There's a difference between saying prayers and praying, throwing up phrases, but spending time to our Father, speaking to Him. And I want you to appreciate our emotional and our physical health, then teetering off that needs to be attended to. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, bodily exercise profits for a little time. Your translation may say little. You'll see a little footnote, because literally the idea is for a while there is profit in bodily exercise. I read that the body belongs to God. I've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. It is the instrument that God utilizes for me to be able to animate who I am and my actions. And I need to take care of that physical body. If we are physical and emotional wrecks, we are not able to serve God or others responsibly. And time molding a character like it ought to be. I love Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there are any virtue, any praise, think on these things. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, inherent in all those things are time. The proper time that you're going to carve out in your life to do that. It takes time to sit around quietly, calmly, meditating upon these good things, molding your character as it ought to be. It has been said that we are at birth God's gift to us, that is our life. We make of ourselves, or what it is we make of ourselves once we are in this life, is a gift back to God. I want you to appreciate, we need to spend the proper amount of time carving out being the proper person. The main thing must be the main thing. But also time with our spouses, time with our partners. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 3 and verse 1, Peter there said, likewise, you wives, be a subject unto your husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the lifestyle of the wife. I need to understand the responsibility of the wife to be able to be there for her husband. No greater call, no greater extension than her helping her husband be all that he can be. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, that's the reason why the woman was created, to be the helpmeet for the man. But also in the same manner, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Not that I can arm wrestle her and beat her out, lift her weight, and she's so much weaker than me, but the idea of honor unto a vessel that is weaker, that is much more precious. For whatever reason, I told you in a Bible class not too long ago, I can't help but thinking of a violin. I don't know, I've never played a violin, but I have seen very, very expensive violins, and they've set those things off to the side. They pay honor and homage to that. Back in Trader's Point, where Anessa and Sean and I worked together there at Trader's Point in our house there, we had dishes that everybody, I could even eat off of. And then we had those that were precious, that were weaker, that we bring out, we honored, and we allowed other folks, when we wanted to bestow honor upon them, utilize that. And that's the way the husband needs to be to the wife. And once again, in both those, inherently is time. I'm going to spend time in doing those things for my husband or for my wife. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, 23 through 25, I read there that I am to love my wife. My wife is to be subject unto me. He says, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. It is incumbent upon ladies for us to love our husbands, to nurture that relationship. Husbands, it is incumbent upon us to do the same thing for our wives. If we're not careful, many times there is a real danger in focusing in on the children and neglecting the marriage. Well-common, well-meaning commitment. Fathers or mothers at times neglect that relationship. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to understand our children are with us and they are a precious gift, but they're only here for a little bit of time, maybe 18, 20 years. That wife hopefully will be with you for 50. That husband for 50. Nourish that relationship. Cut out and carve the time to have that love one for another and cherish that relationship. Time to be the proper partner, and also the time to be with our children. How tragic it is that our time and our priorities sometimes hardly reflect that we have children at all. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers, train up your children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Speak of these things to your children in Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk on the land, let them be frontless through your eyes. Put them on the post of your house. And again, ladies and gentlemen, hear the time. Hear the time that's got to be involved for us to be able to properly train and to teach our children. The Apostle Paul talking about this idea to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, talking about this unfeigned, this sincere love and faith that he had. He said, which I know was first of all in your grandmother Lois, and now is in your mother Eunice, and also I am persuaded that is within you, because they spent that time to train up him from a youth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Proper priorities, proper time being carved out to spend the time with the children. Someone argues and says, well, I've got to work. I've got to work more to provide to this world's goods. I want them to have the best of the best. And I appreciate that and I understand that. Boy, looking back on it now, time. Time is so precious. And time is of the utmost importance for us to be able to spend with our children. I heard a story one time of a 5-year-old boy whose father worked all the time. He worked all the time, was provided a big, beautiful house on his 5th birthday. He brought all of his friends from the neighborhood. It had a big, beautiful cake. They had a pony ride. They had a clown there that was doing all kinds of balloon animals and things of this nature. And the 5-year-old finally went over to his daddy and said, Daddy, when all this is over, could you and me go out and play? It goes so quickly. It's what we need to provide to our children, and we need to carve out and understand what it is that we're doing. Each and every one of us have a responsibility to preach and teach the gospel, evangelize in the world. We all share that responsibility, but we share that responsibility with a great number of people. But the responsibility of being a parent to your children rests solely with you. Proper time for the children, and also for your vocation. It is important for the responsibilities for us to be met here as children of God. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, specifically those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It is important for all of us to understand the importance and have a work ethic. We need to work, but if we're not careful, work kind of becomes that over-consuming thing that begins to crowd out everything else. You must work, you must take care of those things, but too often it takes precedent over being the best person, the best partner, and the best parent. And I just caution all of us as we begin a new year, as we begin a new week. Are we spending the proper amount of time? I fear we allow our jobs to dictate when we're going to worship or whether we're going to worship. You know, in Old Testament days, if you missed the appointed day of worship, the Sabbath, for working, that was a capital crime. Things the Sabbath day teaches me is there's got to be an ebb and flow of life. There's got to be time we do and put first things first. God gives us time to work, and we must do that. But all in its proper order. J.C. Penney one time, that is the J.C. Penney department store man, said if a man could not go to Wednesday night Bible study because of work, that man had too much work. He wasn't a gospel preacher, by the way. He makes some pretty good suits. But other than that, I appreciate his quote. We have wonderful opportunities to minister to others, but we need to do that at our job, and that is fine. And we need to do our work as hard as we can. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure that our circles are in proper balance. And finally, ministering to others, the best public servant we can be. Do you want to do something for Jesus? Do something for other people. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, Jesus summed all this up for those who were going to go to heaven with him. He said, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you came and visited me. When do we do that, Lord? As much as you did it unto these least that believe upon me, you did it unto me. If you want to do something for Jesus, do something for somebody else. We are to love and to serve one another, but first we are to help God's family. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. In the best public servant of one another that we can be. And that's once again part of the bodybuilding process that we're going to go through in 2018. Let us not lose our liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but in love serve one another. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. And most importantly, in our priority of teaching others the gospel. Teach these things which you've heard and seen of me, Paul said. Commit them also to faithful men who then will be able to teach others also. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the key to remaining in a balance is not to allow ourselves to become a freak in any one area. I mean, yes, we need to study and pray, but on the other hand, there comes a time when we need to get off our knees and our nose out of the book and get busy with our Father's business. On the other hand, one can spend so much time ministering to others that we neglect our own personal growth and study. Either extreme is unhealthy. The issue demands constant reassessment. J. Wallace Hamilton told the story of his son playing with an old phonograph, he and another boy, and they punched several holes. Those of you remember how old I am in my audience, we used to have these things called records. And they had a hole in the middle, and you put them, and you put a needle on there, and it played. Well, this man's son punched holes, not in the center, but around that circle. And when they stuck it there, and he put the record was skewed. And there was this disharmony. And he just told him, quit that! Stop it! And so they put it back in the circle, centered it, and the symphony music came through the speakers. So you got to have things centered properly in our life. And when our heart and our life are centered on God, then we can produce a beautiful, harmonious music. We must put God and the family in his proper place and make sure it has the proper priority in our life that it needs to have. Let's make sure that the main thing is the main thing in our lives. And if we will have learned these things, of putting these things in perspective with the proper priority and balance, I think our time will be spent very profitably. I appreciate your attention tonight. You listened really well. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you this evening. Maybe there's one in our audience not been obedient to the words of God. And he said, go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that here this evening. Depending on your sin, I'll help you make the good confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will baptize you for the remission of your sins. Maybe there's something else that the Lord will allow us to do and help you get back on the straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're ready, willing, and able to help you do that very thing here tonight. And I extend the Lord's invitation to you here this moment. And we sing this song to encourage you. So be subject to it. Anyway, come forward now and we stand and sing.
Oh, hark, I am with sorrow. Oh,